This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 40 of the ceasefire following 15 months of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Early this morning, after a five-day delay by the Israeli government, more than 600 Palestinian women, children, and men were released from Israeli detention, back to their loved ones in Gaza and the occupied West Bank, or exiled to neighboring countries. Reporting from Gaza on the scene at the European Hospital in Khan Yunis, where the released Palestinian hostages underwent medical checks, Al Jazeera's Tariq Abu Azoum said that, quote, "We have seen a number of Palestinian prisoners who lost their limbs, and others are suffering from severe injuries to their bodies due to the aggressive torture that took place in Israeli detention camps and centers. Lots of them, as we have been sharing conversations with them, confirmed that they have witnessed some of the worst methods of torture at the hands of the Israeli occupation forces." In Gaza, seven infants died this week from hypothermia, as winter temperatures dropped and as Israel has continued to restrict or delay the entry of necessary caravans, tents, and heavy machinery to clear rubble, as agreed upon under the January 19th ceasefire terms. The United Nations Office for Human Rights in Palestine said on Wednesday that three of the babies were newborns between 1 and 2 days old. A Palestinian health official speaking to Reuters said that in the past 2 weeks, 8 newborns were admitted to hospitals with severe cold-related injuries. One infant, a 2-month-old girl, died of hypothermia on Tuesday in her family's tent at Al-Mawasi Khan Yunis, and her body was received at the nearby Nasser Hospital. The infant's father, Yusuf Al-Shinbat, told reporters that, quote, "I unbuttoned her clothes and patted her, but there was no breath or heartbeat. Yesterday, I was playing with her, bathing her. I was happy with her. She was a beautiful child, like the moon." Our contributor, Abu Bakr Abed, filmed himself walking through the rubble in Khan Yunis on Tuesday. He describes the destruction and how people are surviving in the freezing cold temperatures.
This is life in Khan Yunis. People in the background are sitting on a tent over the rubble of their homes because they don't have enough space. And at the same time, they don't have any choices because Israel continues blocking the entry of caravans and mobile homes into Gaza, which doubles people's suffering every single day. I'm here over one of the mountains of rubble in central Khan Yunis, and this particular area has completely been destroyed by the Israeli military. Nothing has been, nothing has escaped Israeli attacks at all. And just like this, this is central Khan Yunis at the moment. The skyline view is total destruction. I can see the far regions of the southern Gaza Strip from here. You can see probably in the background how the destruction is. It's utterly, utterly unfathomable.
That was Abu Bakr Abed reporting from Khan Yunis. The Gaza City municipality reported this week that a major campaign was underway to collect and remove solid waste from the streets and neighborhoods around the city. The municipality said that, quote, "Gaza City is experiencing a major health and environmental disaster due to the accumulation of approximately 170,000 tons of waste in the streets." They added that about 80% of their heavy machinery was destroyed by the Israeli army. A new report on Israel's systematic policies of abduction, torture, and killing of medical professionals in Gaza was released yesterday by Physicians for Human Rights Israel. It includes detailed testimonies that the organization has gathered from 24 medical professionals who were detained, abused, and tortured. The testimonies, which I won't read from here because of their disturbing and explicit nature, highlight Israel's systematic policies of inhumane treatment of Palestinians and the countless violations of international human rights law. PHRI says that 23 of the 24 health workers they interviewed were taken to the notorious Sde Tayman detention camp. From the moment of their arrest in Gaza, PHRI says, medical workers through transportation and later in Israeli detention facilities. Detainees endure physical, psychological, and sexual abuse, as well as starvation and medical neglect amounting to torture. The organization adds that, quote, the accounts gathered in this report reveal a grim reality of relentless, severe, and cruel mistreatment, including verbal, physical, and sexual abuse. Quote, almost 150 medical workers are still incarcerated under these conditions and can still be saved if enough pressure is put on the Israeli government to release them. They are detained because they are Palestinians, because they are from Gaza, but also, and importantly, because they are healthcare workers. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of Miraculous Escape for Baby Found in Tree by Shaima Eid, writing from Gaza. Shaima writes, quote, Omar was missing. Rescue crews searched for hours, thinking the body of the two-month-old baby boy was buried under the rubble of his father's house in the Al-Sika area in Khan Yunis, which had just been hit in an airstrike. Their luck was out. They told his surviving family they believed he had not survived. But then a neighbor heard groaning and crying from an olive tree nearby. He looked up. There was little Omar hanging from a branch. It was December 7th, 2023. A tough day, according to journalist Basil Al-Saka, Omar's uncle. Today, the boy lives with his grandmother, Itaf, and Basil in a tent in the Al-Mawasi area of Khan Yunis. Omar's parents, older brother, and seven other people were killed in the Israeli attack. But that December day, the family was trying to comprehend the shocking news. We lived hours of anxiety after the neighbors informed us that my brother's house had been bombed, Basil told the Electronic Intifada in February. After the civil defense teams left and the sound of their digging through rubble stopped, relative calm returned to the area, and then the shock occurred. The neighbor who spotted the boy contacted emergency medical workers. They took Omar to the Nasser Medical Complex. Miraculously, doctors determined that he was fine and free of injuries. No one could believe it, but Basil and his mother, who had been displaced just 2 days before the attack from their home in Hamad City, immediately took the boy into their care. According to the UN, some 17,000 children have been orphaned in Israel's genocidal aggression, losing either one or both of their parents. Many of these have been left unaccompanied, with no surviving relatives to care for them. Omar has been relatively fortunate in that respect, though Basil confessed that raising a baby with his mother was not easy at times. We try to provide the boy with a sense of security, Basil said. I treat him like my own son. But for all they play with Omar and provide for his needs, neither are under any illusion that they can give the boy the same tenderness as his parents. Sometimes when he cries at night, I feel helpless, Itaf said. I know he's looking for his mother and he will never find her. That's an excerpt from Shaima Eid's feature, Miraculous Escape for Baby Found in Tree, on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, my colleague Tamara Nassar reports that, quote, Israel is implementing in the occupied West Bank what it has done in historic Palestine since the state's inception, forcibly removing Palestinians from their homes and barring them from returning. The following is from Tamara's report. Approximately 40,000 Palestinians were forcibly displaced from refugee camps in the occupied West Bank, with only 3,000 returned, amid what Israel is dubbing the Iron Wall military assault, which has entered its second month. Israel's Defense Minister Israel Katz is now indicating that their displacement is permanent, as he instructed the Israeli military to not allow residents to return. The Jenin refugee camp, a focus of the operation, is now virtually empty, Reuters reported, as Israeli forces, quote, appear to be carving wide roadways through its once crowded warren of alleyways. This resembles a tactic Israel used in Gaza, widening roads to facilitate the invading troops' movement through the area and to surveil and strike Palestinian fighters who can use the camp's alleyways to escape Israeli reconnaissance. Israeli tanks were deployed in the West Bank for the first time in approximately 2 decades, another sign of Israel's escalation. The military operation in the West Bank was launched days after the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas was implemented. It was framed to Israel's right-wing base as a continuation of the war to pacify their opposition to the ceasefire agreement. Meanwhile, at least 16 Palestinian children have been killed in the occupied West Bank since the beginning of the year. Half of them were killed by drone strikes. An Israeli soldier in a heavily armored vehicle opened fire from a distance of about 50 meters on February 21st at a 13-year-old girl standing in the courtyard of her family home, shooting her in the back, according to a field investigation by Defense for Children International Palestine. Rimas Omar Amouri's family tried to approach her to help, but soldiers fired at them too. Another child, 12-year-old Ayman Nasser Taysir Al-Hamouni, was near the home of a family member in the Al-Qasara area south of Hebron on the same day when he was shot in the back by an Israeli soldier inside a heavily armored military vehicle about 200 meters away, DCIP reported. For much more on the situation in the West Bank, read Tamara Nassar's report, Israel Pounds West Bank Children and Infrastructure, on electronicintifada.net. Meanwhile, Israeli settlers attacked Palestinian shepherds southeast of Bethlehem on Wednesday, according to Wafa News Agency. The head of the local village council said that a group of settlers invaded the lands, forced the shepherds out, and set up two tents nearby, along with grazing cattle, as a way to establish a colonial outpost. Israeli forces expanded their ongoing attack on Masafer Yatta, south of Hebron, this week. On Wednesday, Israeli soldiers demolished nearly 20 tents full of people's belongings and destroyed the water and electricity networks in the Khalet al-Dabe community of Masafer Yatta. Mohammed Badawi, one of the affected residents, told the Wafa news agency that the occupation forces demolished the tents that housed more than 10 families who took refuge in those tents after the occupation had demolished their homes earlier this month, leaving more than 80 individuals, most of them women and children, homeless. Israeli forces had demolished more than 17 homes and a number of caves in that area over the last month, seven of them in Khalet al-Dabe alone. Wafa reported that Israeli occupation authorities also razed land and uprooted olive trees in the town of Beit Iksa, northwest of Jerusalem. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing determination and resilience in the aftermath of Israel's 15-month genocide. Schools across Gaza reopened this week, many for the first time since October 2023. Al Jazeera's Anas Al-Sharif reported from Al-Nasser School in Gaza City, where he says 300 children came to restart their educations. He says the school was bombed several times during the genocide and the Israeli army committed massacres inside the school, but the students wanted to return to education again. Despite the tragic circumstances, he says, this was the first day of school inside the Gaza Strip. إليها أكثر من 300 طالب ليتعلموا في داخل هذه المدرسة هذه المدرسة تعرضت للقصف عدة مرات وجيش الاحتلال الإسرائيلي ارتكب عدة مجازر في داخل هذه المدرسة لكن هؤلاء الطلاب أرادوا أن يعودوا من جديد للتعليم رغم الظروف المأساوية الصعبة اليوم الأول للتعليم في داخل قطاع غزة ربما هؤلاء الأطفال. That was Anas Al-Sharif. And a pharmacist and writer, Omar Hamad, with his friend, filmed themselves in a field in Beit Hanun in northern Gaza, where spring flowers and plants have started to grow and bloom.
We have returned to our land, our beautiful paradise, Beit Hanun. We will replant it and bring it back to life once again.
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loiselle.